Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. So happy to get to be here with you on a Wednesday afternoon, especially getting to do this thing that we've been doing the last few years with Joe Heschmeyer as a guest, where we've been asking folks who are in the RCIA process who are otherwise approaching entry to the Catholic Church to call with their questions. Lots of times those are accompanied with wonderful stories, and it's just a lot of fun. If you find yourself in that position, if you are seeking or considering entry into the Catholic Church, 888-318-7884 is the number. Welcome back, Joe. He's there, right? Welcome back, Joe. Try it again.
Sorry, I accidentally muted myself. You know what? One of these days I'm going to master the technology thing. It's going to be great.
I don't know, Joe. The thing is, there does come a certain age where the aspiration to master it, noble as it is an is kind of an irrational aspiration. I don't think you've reached that age yet.
I feel like I might be becoming my parents, specifically my mother. My younger brother, who's 10 years younger than me,
yeah,
could make a full-time job just of answering like parental tech requests of just, you know, doing local house IT repairs. But I don't think he has the patience for it at a certain point.
Well, one of my nieces is the official plugger, inner, and fixer in the family. The poor girl.
Yes.
Good Lord. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. Let's go to Mark in Cincinnati, Ohio, listening on 910 AM. Mark, thank you for the call. Go ahead with your question.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Or good evening, I guess it is. Listen, I just wanted to really comment. I was listening to your previous caller and the comments that Joe had made. I just wanted to really make a comment. An issue, obviously it sounded like she was dealing pretty severely with some issues. My comment really is simply is that, you know, there's a huge difference between regret and repentance. And we know, you know, Esau, of course, and Judas, as Joe pointed out, they both were regretful. But as far as we know, neither one repented, which is what Peter did. And so I see that as a huge difference. We come to Christ, we come for what she's looking for. And if we come with regret, without repentance, there, I don't think that we really can sense that God is there, the Holy Spirit is dealing with us. And I think therein lies a huge issue for many, many people. I guess the simplest way to say that would be that I believe that regret without repentance actually equals rejection. So
yeah, you know, I think
that's the comment.
That's,
I just wanted to comment on that, what Joe said. I'm sorry?
No, Mark, I appreciate you saying that. And so that gives me a chance to maybe build on something I explored a little bit last hour. But, you know, so St. Thomas Aquinas in the Summa has a whole section on shame. And he's going to say shame, like other emotions, is morally neutral. You know, we can't say happiness is good or sadness is bad. It depends, well, what are you happy about? What are you sad about? And what's that leading you to do? And so shame is morally neutral. If you have a shame that brings you to confession, well, good. If you have a shame that keeps you from confession because you're too ashamed, well, that's bad. But the shame itself is only as good as it helps you to do something with it. You know, we have a culture now that says, oh, the feeling of shame is always bad, it's always wrong. It's like, well, no, some things it's okay to be ashamed of and even proper to be ashamed of. But the shame isn't really what we're after. The shame is a means to an end, and the end that we're looking for is repentance. So Aquinas is also going to say that there are some sins, and bodily things in general, that we feel more shame about. You know, you're embarrassed about certain things you've done with your body. Even something like gluttony is a shameful sin in a way that something like pride isn't. You can confess pride with your head held high, unfortunately, and that's the problem with it. Whereas any sin that involves the body, you tend to feel a little grosser about, just because there's something a little silly about the body after the fall. This is Adam and Eve hiding once they realize they're naked. That bodily shame is a consequence of the fall. So that's not to say it's good or bad. It's just something to be aware of. And so St. Francis de Sales talks about the whole idea of these sort of emotions without the repentance. And he gives what I think is a really helpful image in his book, The Introduction to the Devout Life. He says, a child will weep tenderly when it sees its mother bled by the lancet. But if his mother asks him for the apple or the piece of candy he holds in his hand, he won't part with it. And he says, we're like that child. You know, we can see the spear lancing the side of Christ, but then we don't want to give him our hearts, which is all that he asks. So we can have the big emotions and do nothing with it. The big emotions at the Passion of Christ, the big emotions about our sin. And that's not enough unless it leads us to repentance. On the other hand, if you're repentant and don't have the big emotions, you know, you know it's wrong, and you resolve to not sin again, it's okay if you're not a person who feels those things really intensely, as long as you feel enough to know, I shouldn't have done that, and I'm not going to do it again with the help of God. So hopefully that makes sense, that we're after not remorse, not shame as such. We're after repentance, and remorse and shame are helpful only in as much as they get us to repentance.
Thanks, Mark, very much. I appreciate that call and the help on that one. That was I don't think that's an unusual thing for the emotions and the will and the intellect to be out of sync. It's uncomfortable, right. But it's not rare. That's part of the human condition now. Let's go to Vincent in California, listening on YouTube. Vincent, thanks for the call. Go ahead with your question for Joe.
Hello, sir. Thank you for taking my call, and God bless you guys for what you're doing and spreading the truth in the Catholic Church.
Well, thank you, Vincent.
My question is, I've been a Catholic. I was raised Catholic, and to this day, I'm still Catholic, but I had my doubts in the past, and I almost converted to Protestantism. But my question is that I really want to dive deeper into the faith, because I know at the end of the day that Jesus Christ did found the Catholic Church through Peter. And the church has authority into doing so on behalf of Jesus. But isn't necessarily do I have to go through RCIA to build my faith deeper into the Catholic Church? And also, I want to able to share the faith and defend it to my friends and to other people. That was just my question, sir. I don't know if those are two questions or just one question.
I'm gonna count that as two and charge you for both of them, Vincent.
Okay. You didn't know this is one of those kind of phone calls. You're getting charged by the minute. So I think there are a lot of ways you can deepen your faith. And I'm a little biased, but I think the work we do at Catholic Answers helps to scratch that itch. And not just on this show, but also we have a wide variety of books. So why don't we do this? My friend Trent Horn has a great book called Why We're Catholic that explores why we're Catholic. And I'd be happy to send you one of my books as well. So, you know, I don't know exactly where you're wanting to go deeper, but I would say in general, two things are good. One, reading good Catholic books. And two, even more importantly, spending a lot of quality time in prayer and prayerfully reading the Bible. If you do those things, you will find that you grow tremendously in your faith. In terms of good reading to go deeper in the faith, the Catechism of the Catholic Church is just really kind of without rival in terms of an explanation of the faith. But if you're looking for books on a particular topic, for instance, I've got a book on the early church. I've got a book on the papacy. Trent has a good, you know, Why We're Catholic is kind of a catch-all. Here are some hot-button issues people are often asked about. So if any of that sounds good, we'd be happy to send you what we've got if you've got a book that sounds good to you. And hopefully it can kind of help you take that next step in your journey.
Okay, Vincent?
Please, yes, sir. That sounds good. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Just stay on the line and we'll get your information.
Yes, sir. Okay, sounds good. Thank you very much, guys, and God bless you for that.
Absolutely. God bless you, Vincent.
Thank you, Vincent. What very kind words, too. That's very, very nice. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Folks on the line, but there are two lines open. So if you are approaching the Catholic Church, considering approaching the Catholic Church, or you know you are on your way, God willing, to receive the sacraments this Easter Vigil, this hour is for you. Give us a call, 888-318-7884.
Stay with us for more Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features daily Mass, prayers, articles, and meditations in step with the liturgical rhythm of the Church. On the web at magnificat.com.
If it's central to the faith, you can find it on EWTN Podcast Central, featuring the best of EWTN radio, as well as faith-filled podcasts from our friends and affiliates across the nation, all in one place, all free. The destination for great Catholic audio programming is EWTN Podcast Central. It's like podcast heaven. Visit EWTN.com/radio/podcasts today.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Joe Heschmeyer is our guest. You can find his podcast, Shameless Popery, at shamelessjoe.com. Shamelessjoe.com. I suppose that's a play on the word, on Shoeless Joe and Shameless Popery. They put it together into Shameless Joe.
I think it sounds better than like Shoeless Popery.
I think you're right, Joe.
The Discalced Carmelites kind of already got that one done.
That's right, the Discalced Carmelites. If you don't get that joke, you're not Catholic. No, Discalced means without shoes. Those are the Reformed Carmelites. And so that's a little inside Catholic joke. Randall in Vancouver, Washington, listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. Thanks for downloading the app onto your phone. Randall, go ahead with your question for Joe.
Hi. I just wanted to make a quick comment before my question, and wanted to say thank you for talking about the kind of the disconnection between our emotions and repentance and stuff. That just struck me. It's something sometimes I was like worried about with myself. I'm not always deeply emotional, but I know repentance is needed. Yeah. So that just helped me
good.
A lot.
Well, I'm happy to hear you say that.
Yeah, thank you. So one question I had, not exactly about RCIA, but kind of about faith in general. One argument I'm hearing from some of my friends is why be Christian when, in their wording, when Buddhism teaches a lot of the same things about how to treat people kindly and treat people well, but they don't hate the LGBT community. Their words, not mine.
Sure.
I understand from a philosophical standpoint why Buddhism doesn't make sense and why Christianity is the truth, but I don't fully really know how to respond to that, honestly.
Yeah, no, it's a really good question.
If you guys had some insights.
I think it's worth pushing back on that characterization, because I think as long as the person is convinced that Christianity is about hating gay people, no matter what you say and do, they're not going to move at all, because they don't want to be hateful. And understandably. Like, if I thought that Christianity was about hating gay people, I would want no part of it. And it's not, thanks be to God. What Christianity is about is that we're made by God and for God, and that we have this hunger for God, and that all the religions of the world are in some ways reaching out to God, but are incapable of getting there by human intelligence, human wisdom, and human reason. And that God himself enters history, that we're reaching up and he reaches down, and he reaches down to save us. And that this is what happens in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. And so the heart of Christianity isn't an ethical system like be nice. You can love your neighbor without Christianity, without religion, and Christianity will affirm that. You know, the Ten Commandments come before the Incarnation. And we believe that there are plenty of virtuous pagans who live by that part. That's not the question. The question is Jesus who he says he is? And does he have the power to redeem and save us and bring us into this mode of divine life that's otherwise impossible? So one way to think about it is the question of, well, who is Jesus? What's he all about? That's a major difference between Christianity and Buddhism. Another is, what's the point of all this? What are we striving for? Are we just striving for a release from dukkha, from, you know, an escape from suffering to nirvana? That's empty. That's incomplete. You know, what Christianity promises is infinitely more than that. Not just the negation of suffering. Painkillers can get you that. But actually a share in divine life that no earthly pleasure comes close to. So that's the actual promise of Christianity, that it's promising something a lot more than what Buddhism has to offer. And it's true that saying yes to divine life means saying no to certain ways of living. Like, it's meaning saying yes to the body I've been given and the orientation of my body, and that there's some ways of misusing my body, which is why homosexual acts are contrary to that. But all of that isn't the point of Christianity. It's a consequence of taking it seriously in what it says about God, what it says about the gift of the body, what it says about the gift of nature, and what we're destined for. Is that helpful at all? Does that make any sense, kind of understanding where the divergence is from Buddhism?
Yeah, no, that was a great answer. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks. Thanks, Randall. Thanks very much.
Yeah.
The number is 888-318-7884. If you are approaching or want to approach communion with the Catholic Church, this hour is for you. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. Let's go to Edgar in Chicago, Illinois, listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Edgar, thank you for your call. Go ahead with your question for Joe.
Hi, Joe. Thank you, gentlemen. You guys do a great job.
Thank you.
I also have a question of whether we can add or take away from the Bible. And I was like stumped. I don't know why. But I said, no, you can't add or to the Bible or take away from the Bible. How could I better answer that question?
Oh, that's a perfectly fine answer. So, I mean, it depends. So I guess it depends a little bit. What does a person mean when they ask that question?
We're helping teach the RCIA class, and that was one of the students' questions. And,
I see.
I said, there was a lot of things that, you know, you can read, you know, what they've written, but as far as the Bible goes, That's where we all learn.
So, there is the faith delivered once for all to the apostles. That's how Jude 1:3 describes it. That God reveals himself, and he reveals himself in Christ. And this revelation is recorded in a variety of ways, including in the inspired writings that make up the New Testament. And so we don't expect any more writings. In fact, we're confident there won't be any more, because the full unveiling of God has happened in Jesus Christ. So this side of eternity, there's no further unveiling of God. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And revelation is unveiling. And what's being unveiled? Well, it's not secrets of the universe. What's unveiled is God himself. And he unveils himself fully in Jesus Christ. And so that's why we don't believe in, you know, a newer testament like the Book of Mormon or the Quran or anything like that, because God has fully revealed himself in Jesus. That also is why we don't add or remove anything from the Bible, because at the end of the day, even though humans are involved in the creation and the preservation of the Bible, it is still a divine book. It's a book that God is the author of. He's the editor of. He's the publisher of, if you will. He's the one who preserves it. And so it's not ours to add or remove anything from. This is clear in one passage for the book of Revelation specifically. Revelation 22, verse 18, says, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. Now, that is specific to the book of Revelation, but that theme is something that's just around the entire Bible, that the Bible is not our human creation, and so it's not ours to choose to add or remove anything from. Is that clear?
Yes, yes.
Good.
Very, very clear. Thank you. I was just stumped by the question, and I wanted to make sure that I had at least...
Well, it sounds like you did a good job. It sounds like you did a good job. I wouldn't beat yourself up about it.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Edgar. The number here is 888-318-7884. Joe Heschmeyer is our guest. Joe, I want to read a question to you because the caller was not able to stay on the line, but it has to do with the topic that we're covering now, questions from folks who are preparing to enter the church or are preparing to complete their initiation into the Catholic Church. This came from a gentleman in New York. And the question is this. I've been dealing with shameful behavior and coming to the point of being embarrassed to go to confession. I'll be receiving confirmation soon and feel unworthy. Can you give me some advice?
Yeah. So I'd say a few things. Number one, the sins that we feel the most shame about are often not the worst sins. It's not to say they're not serious sins. They are. But the sins that are spiritual sins, like envy, jealousy, pride, are considered by every theologian to be worse. I mean, every saint will tell you that. And so we should take that seriously, that God actually allows us to feel the humiliation of, you know, bodily sins, those kind of things, often as a way of keeping us out of worse sins. That the person sees their own weakness, and that God could be allowing you to suffer these things to help produce in you a humble and contrite spirit. And so you should be thankful, not for the sins themselves, but for the way that God has allowed you to experience these things in a way that will chastise, discipline you, and hopefully make you into a great saint. And so keep that in mind, even as you're in the midst of it. Second, if these are bodily sins, frankly, those somewhat get better with age as well as with growth and grace. That, you know, the sins you struggle mightily with at 16 or 26, you don't struggle with as much at 36 or, I hope, 46. Not there yet, but I'm looking forward. You know what I mean? Like there's that some of those sins become less tempting. Additionally, the Catechism has really helpful language. In paragraph 2352, it's talking about the sin of masturbation. And it says there that to have an equitable judgment or to form an equitable judgment about the subject's moral responsibility and to guide pastoral action, one must take into account the affective immaturity, force of acquired habit. Affective, by the way, means emotional. So like emotional maturity. Force of acquired habit, conditions of anxiety or other psychological or social factors that lessen, if not even reduce to a minimum, moral culpability. Again, none of this means these things aren't wrong. None of this means that you shouldn't fight, but that you don't need to despair that every time you stumble, that you've just like damned yourself to hell. Because there are all sorts of factors that complicate that kind of pastoral assessment. So I would just say, be forthright, bring those sins to the light. Because, you know, I talked about before, the devil only has a couple strategies. One of the strategies he has is to try to isolate you. He prowls about like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Well, how does a lion attack prey? It tries to separate one from the herd. And so to combat that, reach out to other people. That means, one, reach out to the priest. Two, if you're dealing with bodily sins, try to find yourself a group of other guys who may be going through the same issue where you can just text them and say, hey, guys, I'm feeling really tempted right now. Please pray for me. And oftentimes, bringing sins like that to the light just breaks them like that. Like, you won't feel the temptation anymore, or at least you feel like a renewed kind of strength because you've reached out for help rather than relying on yourself. So all of those things can be really good. And then the last thing I'd say, two last things I'd say. One, the priest has heard it all before. You know, there are priests who hear confessions at jails or in high schools, and they're hearing everything.
At jails or high schools? Joe, that's the comparison.
Yeah, look, I invite any priest to call in and contradict me that those two are not the hotbeds of the really interesting sins.
Okay. Yeah, but so, I'm sorry I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No, that's all right. And two, you know, you said you don't feel worthy to receive the sacrament of confirmation, and good. You're not worthy. I'm not worthy. None of us are worthy.
Right.
That's the nature of this thing, is we are the recipients of gifts we don't deserve. That's why they're gifts. And so the idea is don't focus on your own unworthiness. Focus on the goodness of God in the face of your unworthiness and let it inspire gratitude. If you were worthy of it, you wouldn't need to be grateful. You'd deserve it. But if you're not worthy of it and you receive it, that's cause for gratitude and for humility. And God can do a whole world of good with your gratitude and your humility.
888-318-7884 is our number. If you are preparing to receive the sacraments in the Catholic Church or would like to prepare to receive the sacraments of the Catholic Church, your questions are they're what we want today. 888-318-7884. I am concerned that the question that we got before this is one of the reasons why I think having confirmation for teenagers is a bad idea. I mean, I think 7 years old is about the latest you should go. That's just my opinion, but I don't think we should be regularly confirming people older than seven when we could do it earlier. But I'm worried about the person who thinks I commit these sins and the sacrament is not going to take, or I shouldn't go and receive the sacrament, or until I can, purify myself or something. Could you just help with that anxiety?
Yeah, no, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's the whole dimension I didn't talk about, is that in confirmation, you receive this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And one difference between what you receive in baptism and what you receive in confirmation is that the sending of the Spirit is more missional in confirmation. That baptism is primarily about saving you from sins, incorporating you into the body, whereas confirmation has this dimension of now you're being sent out. But in addition to that, there's also this strengthening that helps in the fight against sin. So hopefully it's helpful. You know, by all means, receive this sacrament, go to confession beforehand if you need to, and then be strengthened by the Holy Spirit in that fight against sin.
Joe Heschmeyer is our guest. RCIA questions, more coming up right after this on Catholic Answers Live. If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com.
Want to know more about the origins of the Catholic Church? Joe Heschmeyer explores the beginnings of Christianity in The Early Church Was the Catholic Church. Joe digs deep into the words and actions of those who lived right after the apostles to refute anti-Catholic claims of how the faith was lived back then. Order your copy of The Early Church Was the Catholic Church today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
What if the voice of your deepest doubts about Catholicism rose up in the form of a human being and challenged you to defend your most foundational beliefs? That's the task apologist Trent Horn took upon himself in his new book, Devil's Advocate, a dialogue with his own best objections against the faith that he professes and defends. You can stand up against your doubts, and Trent will show you how. Pick up your copy of Devil's Advocate today at shop.catholic.com or at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
As a child, the great theologian Thomas Aquinas asked, "What is God?" Best-selling author Kevin Vost's new book follows the mature thought of Aquinas in answering that question. In clear and approachable fashion, What is God examines God's attributes and considers questions about him that have vexed mankind for centuries. Order your copy of What is God today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Joe Heschmeyer, our guest. Joe Heschmeyer is one third of the flannel panel here. He's actually more than one third, I think.
By mass.
No, not by mass. Not by body mass. No, you are not. But Chris Check, the other member of the flannel panel, and that's what we'll do next Wednesday at this time. We're back with the flannel panel. I feel like I have missed you, Joe, several times with I was out sick or I was out giving a talk somewhere. And I'm not doing it on purpose.
Dave Matheson and I were starting to speculate. It seemed like every time I was coming on the show, you'd be like, oh, I can't make it in today.
No, but one day I was getting ready to do the show and my microphone didn't work. So we had to have, I was at home and the microphone just blew out. And so Dave had to, so I'm not avoiding you.
It seems pretty likely.
I was just faking.
I mean, obviously, you can see how good I am at tech things based on the two tech errors that have happened this hour.
I still haven't fixed that microphone, so I got to do that. But next week, flannel panel. Is there any news in the Catholic Church? I can't, because what we do in the flannel panel is we discuss the news of the Catholic Church.
If you want to call in and privately explain to Cy Kellett all
is anything
the news
going
the
on?
Church.
I haven't. All right, well, I'll have to read up on it before next week. This week, and we'll do it again at some time this year, we like to do these shows now where we just take calls from folks who are in RCIA. It's always been very, very interesting and fun to take those calls and have those conversations. And up next, Katie in Lincoln, Nebraska. listening on 102.7 FM Spirit Catholic Radio. Katie, we're glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Joe.
Hi.
Hi. Hello. You're in the RCIA.
Nice to talk to you guys. What?
You're in the RCIA?
Yes, I am.
And
my son actually is my sponsor.
Oh, isn't that
cool? That's wonderful.
Yeah, that is great.
He joined the church last year, and he's going to be 25 next month. I can't believe it already. But anyway,
what a wonderful son.
Year, so I know. And so he was baptized by the bishop at Cathedral in Lincoln here last Easter. And so he's been my sponsor through this whole process. And so I'll be joining, you know, this Easter. And I have a 14-year-old daughter. So this brings my question, I suppose. I have a 14-year-old daughter who I'm kind of trying to evangelize. She'll go to adoration with me and sometimes Mass, but she's a typical, you know, 14-year-old girl, always worried about, you know, social life, this and that. And it's like she believes, but there's always these setbacks for her. And I was just wondering if you guys had any, like, tips to kind of help me.
Can I ask you, a question before we let Joe do that? Has she been baptized?
No. Oh, neither of my children were.
Okay, gotcha.
At all, I was baptized Catholic myself, but I obviously had never been confirmed or received my first communion. But and I didn't raise my children in the faith.
Okay.
And so, then when Ethan did that, my son on his own, he actually did it because he met a really sweet Catholic girl, and her family is so great. And then I was hanging around them and stuff. I'm like, you know what? I need to come home, meaning, you know, to Catholicism.
Yeah.
And so, it's been the best experience of my entire life. I'm almost 44 years old, and it's been the best thing ever.
Oh, you are
wonderful.
You're a wonderful advertisement.
I want to share that with my daughter.
Yep, of course.
Yeah.
Joe, you got any thoughts?
I want to share that with my daughter.
Yeah, that's great. So I think there's a few thoughts. 14 is a tricky age. I think any parent can tell you that. Any former child can probably tell you that. And you're very fortunate to be in a good diocese. Your bishop Conley is from Kansas City, and so he's
so therefore it's a good diocese.
Therefore, good. But yes,
that's
exactly
how Joe does these things.
Yep,
yeah.
It's scientific. I don't know how to explain it.
Scientific.
So I think let me talk about it in two ways. One, like, you definitely want to see to the sacramental prep for your child. You know, make sure she's able to, whether it's RCIA or there's RCIC. You know, for children. Whatever is maybe age appropriate for her, see what your parish offers for a 14-year-old who wants to know more, assuming that she does, and try to encourage her to be baptized, encourage her to be confirmed, all of those things. Because she is of the age of reason, she has to kind of say yes or no for herself. You can't just, like, force her into it. What you can do, and I think this is something worth looking at, is in the Catechism, beginning in paragraph 2221, there's a whole section on how to live out parenting, like parenthood, as a Catholic. And it's wonderful. I cannot express enough how good it is. One of the paragraphs, 2223, says you've got the first responsibility for your children's education. Now, we usually talk about this in terms of, oh, well, where are they going to go to school? But I think the Catechism means something more than that. Because it says that you bear witness to this responsibility first by creating a home where tenderness, forgiveness, respect, fidelity, and disinterested service. That means, like, not uninterested, not like apathetic, but like for their good. Disinterested service are the rule. And so you want to create a home that is well-formed for education in the virtues. And so you want to model how you want your kids to live. That's one thing. You also want to show them what divine love looks like. You know, St. Paul says in his letter to the Ephesians, for this reason I bow the knee before the Father, Pater, from whom every family, Patria, in heaven and on earth derives its name. That every family should be a little microcosm of the Father's love for his children. And so you, as a parent, are really invited into this radical place of getting to show this to your daughter. You know, like, if you grow up in a family where your parents are just overbearing and legalistic, you almost can't help but to imagine that God is going to be overbearing and legalistic as well. And so if you want a healthier vision of God for your daughter, be that image of God for your daughter. I know that sounds maybe strange, but, like, how you relate to her, especially post-conversion, will make a tremendous difference. If looking back on her life when she's an adult, she says, you know, I was going this way, and then when I was 14, my mom converted, and then everything got way better. That's going to be a very different kind of experience than if she says everything got way stricter, way worse, way whatever. And so really just live this out. Encourage her. Don't force her. Be merciful. Be, you know, constantly self-sacrificing for her, and treat her as you would mission territory in a real way. Like, just show the light of Christ to her so that this will be something that she wants to be part of.
Katie, what do you think?
Great. Yes, that's really great. And I was trying to say, I don't want to like throw it down or, you know, make her, force her to do it,
no,
put pressure on her. I want her to know that it's a loving, open, Jesus is open, and he wants you in his life. And I'm not, you know, I don't want to just, you know, I don't want it to be a negative.
Yep.
A negative, you know.
You don't sound very negative.
John Paul II says the church doesn't impose, she proposes.
Yes.
Katie, it's been so much fun talking with you. I'd like to offer you one of our books. Would you like a book about Peter or a book about Jesus?
Jesus.
Oh, Katie's my favorite.
You are
Katie
now
is my favorite caller.
Color.
I love that. Because, you know, Joe wrote the book about Peter and I wrote the book about Jesus. So
my confirmation saint I chose was St. Margaret Mary of Alacoque.
So, oh,
yeah, wonderful.
She has a
I've been to her
to
church
Sacred
in
Heart
France.
Of Jesus, and I,
yes.
Yeah, I bet that's awesome.
It is, yeah.
Well,
that's wonderful. Yeah, no, that's so good. You know what? I got to tell you, as much as I hate to say it, you made a good choice there.
Well,
this like size.
Thank you.
Yeah, you made especially a good choice because when people choose my book, I give them both books. So just hang on. We're going to send you Pope Peter, Joe's book on Peter, and my book, A Teacher of Strange Things, Who Jesus Was, What He Taught, and Why People Still Follow Him. Thank you, Katie. I'm going to keep moving because all of a sudden, it's always at this time of the show, every line full. Everyone's decided they want to talk now.
It's true. It's like nobody wants to go first. Everybody wants to go last. It's like sitting in the back pew. You know what I mean?
All right.
This is the place to be.
Did you get what we're giving, Katie? You got that? Okay. So I'm going to go to Hobbs in Tacoma. Oh, no, excuse me. Calvin in Tacoma, Washington, listening to EWTN.
I like that joke. I'm not above it. I like that joke.
Listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Calvin, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Joe.
Hey there. Yeah. I'm going through RCA right now, and I have a couple questions. Just sometimes it feels like RCA is just a box you're checking. The education isn't by any means robust.
Yep.
And sometimes I feel like the people running these RCIA programs focus more on let's make these people feel good than let's tell these people the truth.
Yep. Okay, let's get Joe's response. I'll come back to
Calvin. Yeah, no, I think that's, you know, I said it, I think, at the top of the last hour, RCIA is largely run by Catholic volunteers, and so your experience is going to be pretty specific. It's like saying your experience of, like, your high school teacher. You know, your experience of your high school teacher, my experience of mine, might be a world apart based on who happened to show up. And so there are widely varying levels of quality of RCIA programs around the country. If you find yourself, unfortunately, in a bad one, I would say two things. Number one, the community aspect can actually still be good. That being connected with another group of human beings who are on the same spiritual journey can be good, even if you're not getting good formation, just being together on the journey. It's good not to just have to go these things alone. Number two, by all means, if this is something where you can talk to the pastor about it, or if you have recourse to anyone who is maybe better formed, you can share your concerns. It may be that, you know, maybe you're missing out on something and they can help correct things. Or maybe they're doing something wrong. They're making a mistake. And so if you go to them, go to the pastor, you know, go to the RCA structure, go to the pastor as well, and try to just see if there's a way to improve the quality. If none of those things work, and if it's not something that's helping your faith, the other thing you can do is you can go to the priest and just say, I think I'm ready to enter the church. I'm not being helped by the RCIA process. Can you, you know, accompany me one-on-one? Or can you maybe interview me to see if I'm ready to come in? In those kind of situations, you know, as I said before, RCIA is made for man. Man is not made for RCIA. So if the program isn't working, if the one-size-fits-all kind of approach doesn't work for you, the priest is totally free to dispense with that. And, you know, if he thinks you're going to get a better formation one-on-one. Is that helpful at all, Calvin?
Yeah, no, that definitely helps a lot. I'm actually already on track to be confirmed early due to other reasons. But,
oh, good.
Yeah, well, congratulations.
You know, the other thing, really let me give you one more piece of advice. If this is something that you see as a problem, and if you're a person who knows the Catholic faith well, as you kind of dig into this, you might prayerfully discern if God's calling you to do this. Because I think most pastors with bad RCIA programs, one of the major reasons is that they can't get good RCIA people to do it, and the priest is pulled in so many different directions. Now, I think priests should prioritize RCIA, personally, if they don't have some good lay people who can do it. But nevertheless, if volunteers step up, and that goes for everyone listening, if you're in a position that's something you can volunteer to do, even periodically, it makes a world of difference. It's a great way to give back to the parish. You know, if you've got money, you should tithe it. If you've got talents, you should tithe them as well.
Calvin, I'm going to have to leave it there because we have to take a break. We'll be right back with more open forum for those approaching the sacraments in the Catholic Church right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
You're listening to Catholic Answers Live. Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Saints are the heroes of the Catholic faith. They serve as examples for all Catholics, showing us how to lead a more satisfying, more spiritual life in communion with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. View our comprehensive documentation of saints who serve as theologians and doctors of the Church. It's easy. Visit EWTN.com and click Catholicism. EWTN, the Global Catholic Network.
A lot of people think that street evangelization involves yelling out of a bullhorn telling people that they're going to hell. Not so with St. Paul's Street Evangelization. Our methods are non-confrontational and effective. We simply offer information on the Catholic faith, along with rosaries, miraculous medals, and prayer. Pope Francis wrote about how beautiful it is to see street preachers joyfully bringing Jesus to every corner of the earth. Street evangelization is fun and fruitful. Join us today at streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Joe Heschmeyer is our guest. Joe's the author of a bunch of great books, including The Early Church Was the Catholic Church, which just gets praised to high heaven all the time, and it deserves it. I don't think a lot of Catholics maybe are aware of the amount of knowledge that we have about the first two centuries of the church and how much that knowledge it reinforces the idea quite strongly that the early church was the Catholic Church. So check out Joe's book. You look like you want to say something, Joe. No?
No, I was just receiving the praise and happy for it.
Okay, all right.
Appreciate it.
It was mostly sincere. I'm glad you received it. Anthony in Texas watching on YouTube. You are next, Anthony. Go ahead with your question for Joe. Anthony? Did I go? No? Okay, I'm a little confused. Was I hearing Anthony or not hearing Anthony there? Okay, I'm going to go to Erica in Salem, Oregon. I really want to get Anthony's question, though, so thanks, Edgar. Edgar's going to check the line. Erica in Salem, Oregon, listening on Mater Dei Radio. Erica, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your question for Joe.
So, hello.
Hi, Erica.
Hello.
So, this is kind of more of a relay of my husband's question, and he asked me to talk to the deacon, but that's not as easy to come by right now.
So you called us.
Yeah.
Well, you got to tell your husband the truth, though. This did not come from the deacon. This came from Catholic Answers Live.
Well, I think she's going to try to get us to call the deacon.
Oh, we'll call the deacon for you. Sure. Okay. No problem.
Overall, you guys have done a fantastic job with formation for us, since our RCIA experience is also similarly lacking in very many ways.
Okay.
But one of the current concerns is we're coming up to Easter, and some people have been reached out to and done interviews and stuff, and there's been decisions made about whether they'll pursue another year or go ahead and be confirmed. We weren't reached out to, which we're working on, but we have a certain sense of unease with certain things that this pastor and the education director will say, some of them very clearly contrary to the catechism or to what the church teaches. And when we challenge those things using the catechism, get like a lot of pushback, on, even though it's right there.
On grave issues, yeah. on serious things? Erica?
So, like, on matters of whether those in purgatory are definitely headed to heaven or not.
Oh, really? That's an odd thing to be contradicting the church on. I thought it was going to be some kind of moral thing, but that's a... okay, all right.
Well, you don't usually see the priest swerve in that direction.
Yeah, like, no, some of those people in purgatory are going to hell. That was an odd take, Father, but okay. Erica, how can Joe help?
We were wondering, because we get that sense of having to filter everything that we hear from Mass or from RCIA through what we know from other places and learning for ourselves, we both felt pretty ready to enter the church before starting RCIA. Mm-hmm. And at this point, it's just like, should we pursue it here at this parish with these people? Or go ahead and let them kind of sideline us for another year and join a different parish or something to kind of get what we need. We've got 4 kids also working through the process here.
Really? What a wonderful story for your family.
Yeah. It's great that that you're going through the process. It's unfortunate that the process is kind of going the way it is, unfortunately. So just to clarify, if you continue with your parish, do you think that they will have you come in at Easter, or do you think they're going to try to make you wait an extra year?
It's really not super sure. I feel like if we set up this meeting and are very much honest about that we're ready, you know, mentally, heart ready before we even enter the process, but then how to be honest about that at the same time being like, but what we've gotten in education has been lacking.
Yeah, I think I'd say this. The meeting to see if you're ready is not meant to be just an exit interview for how did you like the RCIA program. And the priest should not hold you back from entering the church because you thought he did a bad job. That is not a valid reason to hold you back. And so I can't say that this priest will or won't punish you for not liking his RCIA process. But that is not a valid reason for you not to get confirmed. And if that were the case and you said, look, I believe everything the catechism teaches, I know it. Show me what, like, where am I lacking some issue of faith that I'm not ready to say yes to? That would be the only situation. And in that situation, I would absolutely talk to the Archbishop, because you're in Portland, right? Like, Archbishop Sample is your bishop?
Yeah.
He's fantastic. And so he should know about this situation anyway. And so I would encourage you, in addition to, it sounds like talking to the deacon, I'll side with your husband on that one. At some point, you should also charitably reach out, because it sounds like you've talked to the people themselves. They aren't receiving it well. And at that point, follow the kind of steps of Matthew 18, that at a certain point, you actually have to go to the church and say, hey, here's this problem. We tried to resolve it at the local level, and it hasn't been resolved. And it is okay. You're not doing anything wrong. And in fact, you are helping other people who may be in a weaker position than you in terms of faith, to not be malformed. Because you don't want someone telling people the souls in purgatory might be going to hell or whatever other theological errors this priest or the RCIA volunteers may be introducing. In those situations, it's important that the bishop know we're being not just misserved, but actually malserved. Like we're being given bad formation. We're being told false things. And when they're corrected with the catechism, this correction is not being received well. That's a good thing, I think, for any bishop to know about the priests of his diocese.
Erica, do you feel that you are, in terms of intellectual preparation, ready to come into the Catholic Church?
Yeah. I did a lot of listening to you guys and reading books and stuff.
And do you want to come into the Catholic Church? Do you feel ready?
Yes. I'm not sure that my husband, but I see your point asking it that way.
You should come in. If you if you're prepared and you and your will is to come in, you should come in.
Right. And the priest doesn't have the authority to hold you back under those conditions. Like, to deny you the sacraments, he needs a valid cause. Just like he couldn't say, I'm not going to let you get married in the church because I think you're a jerk. He can't do that. The priest can deny and delay the sacraments for just causes. He can't do it for no reason. And that reason can't just be personality dispute. Like, he is the pastor, but he's not the dictator. So I suspect, even if you are very blunt, even if you're very honest with him, he would still say, well, it seems like even if we disagree, you believe what the Catholic Church believes, and you're ready to be confirmed. But whatever the case. And then the next question you should be asking is whether you're going to be better nourished in that parish, or if it's worth finding maybe another nearby parish where you can get better fed.
Yeah, separate the two questions from whether or not to be confirmed to...
Exactly. You can be confirmed in one parish.
Confirmed,
leave your
do you want to register somewhere else?
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yes. Right.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Erica. Yeah. Thank you very much, and congratulations on your whole family moving towards full reception in the Catholic Church. That's a beautiful story. I don't want to leave Anthony. We tried Anthony before. I think we've got him now. Anthony in Texas watching on YouTube. You are up next, Anthony. Go ahead, please, with your question for Joe Heschmeyer.
Hi, guys. Just have a question about RCIA program.
Okay.
I was baptized as a baby, but I wasn't raised Catholic. However, marrying my wife, who was raised Catholic, I've become really close to the Catholic faith, and just been learning as much as I can, including praying the rosary daily. I actually just started doing that. Anyhow, my question is, how do I fulfill my sacraments? Is RCIA a once-a-year thing, or is that something I can do at any time?
What, wonderful, Anthony.
Great question. So the normal cycle is basically the academic year. Like, it starts in the fall, and then it goes till Easter, or Easter Vigil. And then some parishes will also have something called mystagogy, a period right after you've come into the church, if you want to keep being formed after that as a kind of baby Catholic. So as someone who's already been baptized, you should still go through RCIA as the default. You can receive the sacraments outside of that normal cycle prior to Easter or some other time of the year if you're ready and if the priest determines that you're ready. And that's something you can kind of determine in a one-on-one sort of situation with your pastor. But yeah, you should go and say, okay, here's where I am. But I would encourage most people to go through the cycle of RCIA to get a little more well-rounded in their knowledge of the faith, because there may be questions that come up that you didn't even think to ask, and that help strengthen and support you. And then you also get connected with a community of people, which can be really good for living the Christian life.
It sounds like are you already going to Mass, though, with your wife?
Yes, sir, yes. I'm going to Mass on Sundays
and
with my wife and our son.
And have you met the pastor?
No, I haven't met him formally. That's another thing that's kind of been an issue. We've been moving around a lot to different states.
Okay.
So I just kind of, I attend, but I don't get, engaged. But yeah.
Well, honestly, if you're somewhere where you can count on being for a few months, RCIA can be a good way of getting engaged, too. It can be a good way of kind of planting a little more roots. Because I know if you're new to the area, if this is not somewhere you grew up, it can be a little, you can feel very anonymous going through parish life. And this is a good way to get connected and get more of the lived experience.
So did we answer what you wanted, Anthony?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty much. Recommending going to RCIA, and it starts in the fall.
Usually.
Yep, and then talk to the pastor as well. Because especially this time of year when it's a long way off. You can see if there's something else you'd recommend. Your parish may offer something that I don't know about, because you'll sometimes find that on the ground.
And there are parishes where it's quite different, so it is worth asking about. If you'd like...
Everyone listening, go to your pastor, ask your pastor, what's the situation in this parish?
Anthony, we'd like to send you a copy of Why We're Catholic by our colleague Trent Horn. If you hang on the line, we'll send it to you. Joe Heschmeyer, thank you very much. I enjoyed this, as I always do. Every time we get to do these RCIA open forums, it's fun. Thanks for doing it.
Yeah, thanks everybody who called in.
And tomorrow, regular open forum, and we'll see you then, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.